my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're here today. And we also want to welcome our internet listening audience, and especially Brother Raj and our friends in India. And we're glad that they've tuned in again to join us in worship. And I'm glad that you're here this morning, and what a beautiful day that the Lord has given us. We have special guests with us this morning, which I'm sure that you've been able to pick out from amongst us. And that's Scott and Teresa Douglas, and they're going to come and share just a little bit of what the Lord has them doing in Festus, Missouri. And now this is important because this is where our July mission trip is headed. And so I want you to listen very attentively, and I want you to be in prayer about it and to see where the Lord might be able to use you in coming alongside the Impact Church. And he'll speak more about that in just a second, the church and which has been birthed there in Festus, Missouri. And so I'm very excited to have them with us. And Austin and I went out there a little earlier, the first part of this year, and met with Scott and where they're meeting there in the middle school there at Festus, and then the surrounding neighborhoods. And Austin and I had an opportunity to, and I know I especially did as I was driving around, prayer and different communities and city parks that we saw there. And so a prayer walk, we had a prayer drive as we drove around and just praying and discerning whether or not this is where the Lord would have us to go. And I'm very pleased that the Lord, I believe, has allowed us to go that direction. And I was very pleased with and meeting Scott. I've just met Teresa since they've been up here. But I appreciate Scott, and I thank God for his calling on Scott's life. And he has the character and the demeanor to be exactly where he needs to be, doing exactly what he's doing, and reaching the lost and the unchurched there in Festus, Missouri, and the patience to do it. And then Teresa has the love and the capability to put up with Scott. And so that's a joke. Scott's a wonderful guy, but I'm just joking. But he can take a joke, and so can Teresa. But I very much appreciate the Lord's calling on their life. And so I want you to be in prayer about how we might be able to come alongside of them. And by the way, this is the product of your cooperative program giving through the North American Mission Board. They are send missionaries. And same as we went to Cleveland, Ohio, working with five send missionaries last summer. And we've kind of narrowed it down a little bit more to just one missionary we'll be working with. And so we're very excited about what God has done and what he is doing in Scott and Teresa's life and the life of the people there in Festus, Missouri. And so without any further ado, would you join me in standing? And that means like this. Would you join me in standing? All right. And if you didn't notice, on the way out, there's some refrigerator magnets with the Impact Church. And so feel free to grab you one. And in just a little one, we've got plenty of them. And so feel free to grab you one of those. And so you'll be able to remember them every time you go to the refrigerator. And when you think, I'm hungry, going to get me something to eat, you'll know that he's out there feeding the bread of life to those in Festus, Missouri. Would you join me in honoring our Heavenly Father and us just offering a hand clap of praise in honor of Scott as he comes to the pulpit of Zion Baptist Church?
Thank you, Pastor Mike. I appreciate that. Y'all can be seated. Absolutely. Appreciate that. We are, as Pastor Mike said, we are a product of the North American Mission Board Cooperative Giving. We have been partnering with them since 2016. And in 2017, we had gone through the assessment processes in 16 and 17 in order to be church planting missionaries. And we had to share with you a little bit of that. In 2016, we began meeting as a small group in our home on Sunday nights. And we were in a midst of a transition of ministry. We had been serving in another church. And we were just praying to God for clarity and for courage. Clarity to know what the next step for us would be. And courage to do whatever God called us to do. And we were living in Festus for about 8 years before that. And we were ministering in another community north of us. And we had all of our effort and all of our prayer and all of our investment kind of going into that other community. And as we got into 2016 and started gathering with a few folks that were wanting to just simply pray for us in that transition, not knowing what God would call us to do, we began to see and began to understand that God was calling us right there in our neighborhood. There were people that had not been attending church, were not attending church. Maybe like your community, there were people that are not gathering in a church building on a Sunday morning to learn about the love of the Lord and the hope that we have in Him. And since 2016, when we began to gather, and then in our grand opening in 2017 in September, we've seen, and you have been a part of by giving through the cooperative program, five people come to know Christ and be baptized. And so we're very thankful and very humbled to be a part of that and to see God move in that way in our community. And we've been making disciples as we go and as we grow. We've seen God working in the lives of people who had stopped attending church for whatever reason, or had maybe never attended church. You know, their parents had attended, but they were not, and they were beginning to now have children and not attending, not seeing it as important. They were worshiping at the idols of sport and activity and hunting and everything else that could happen, right, on a Sunday morning. We get these boats and these various things, and we say, okay, that's the most important thing to us because we're going to spend some family time. And we began to see where there was a great need. While we had wonderful churches in our community, there was a great need for another church. And so we had seen God drawing people. We've seen God drawing people to Himself, to the where the point that they... We've heard numerous times as Impact Church has opened, we've heard numerous times that I thought of God, that I thought God had given up on me. People telling us that. I thought God had given up on me, but because of Impact Church, I'm beginning to believe again that God loves me. And maybe you already know that God loves you. Maybe you're like me. You grew up in a setting very much like this. And you know that the Lord loves you. There are people that don't know right here in Benton, Tennessee, right? Right here near the Cherokee National Forest. They know. They don't know that God loves them. They don't know that God hasn't given up on them, even though maybe they've run from their upbringing, right? That God hasn't given up on them. And that's just like it is in Festus as well. You know, in our times now, people look at the crime, they look at the natural disasters, and they look at the reality of the abortion industry in our country. They look at the moral relativism, which says, you know, anything goes, or you can just speak your own truth, right? There's one truth, right? There's one truth that we find in the Word of God. And that's when people start to look and wonder, well, is God really even here? Does He care about us, or is He just kind of distant and apart from us? And so, before we understand that there is a God, we have to understand, and that He loves us, we have to understand that He has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for each one of us, and He loves us and sent His Son, His one and only Son, to show us how to live. And then by living a sinless life, God's Son Jesus was the only qualified one to die a sacrificial death to pay the penalty for our sin. He was the spotless Lamb, many of us know that. He was the final sacrifice needed so that we could escape the wrath of Almighty God. You and I were born in sin, just like Cain and Abel were born into sin, and we deserve to spend eternity separated from God. And this is the part I love about this story, about this truth in the Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, isn't willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And not everyone knows that, right? Not everyone knows that. Jesus overcame death in the grave and is seated now at the right hand of the Father. And by faith in Him, we can receive eternal life. Today you might have come in and even thought, well, I know all of what He's about to talk about. But maybe you don't really understand. Maybe you just don't really understand that you can receive eternal life, but you can't do it on your own. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to get there. You can't outweigh some things. You have to place your faith in Jesus Christ. We've been studying at Impact Church through the book of John. And the reason that we're doing that is partly because John writes a letter letting people know that this was the Messiah. This is the fulfillment of the law. This is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus came. That He is the Messiah. He's not just a prophet or teacher, but that you can be saved through Him. Teresa and I have been serving in the local church since our college days. We love the local church, and by God's grace, we're raising our four children to love His bride as well. We have a son and three daughters, and our son is currently in the Marine Corps at San Diego. He is in boot camp, so that would be one of the things that we would ask you to join us in prayer for. As parents, we were drafted. He volunteered to go. All right, and so you be praying for us as we walk through that process as new military parents. But during our years in Hannibal, Missouri, where we attended college, we served. Teresa served in the children's areas, and I had led music at our church as I was working at the college as well. And then when we moved back home near our families, we began attending a church who had just planted about a year before we got there. And again, we were serving in that. We just started volunteering, loving the local church, serving where we were gifted in. And so my wife served in the children's area, and I served with the students. And we just volunteered for about a year. And as far as our calling and how that all happened, I had went to college and received a degree, earned a degree in speech communication. Knowing that sometimes people learn things in their head and they don't seem to be able to communicate it to other people to help them understand. And so I wasn't real sure, and even at that time in my early 20s, I was kind of apprehensive about maybe going into ministry. My grandfather had served in ministry and my dad had served in ministry, and I thought, that looks like something that God might want to do with me, but I really don't want to do that, to be honest with you. I just was kind of not sure. But I knew that we wanted to continue to serve as we were going, just serve wherever we could. And so as we attended and as we served, there were people in that church about a year in that came to us and asked us to consider to pray about coming maybe onto the staff there and to join them and help oversee students and small groups and other duties as needed, as some job descriptions you might have had would say that, right? You have certain things that you know you're going to do, and then other things as needed, right? And so you just do whatever is needed. And so in a church plant like that, it was. It was something that we had an opportunity to grow in so many ways through that. We had prayed again in that process and just found that what became clear to me at that time was God was calling me and that I made myself available to Him. And He would teach me what I needed to know. And so I'd been identified as a faithful person by leadership of our church. And by faith, I was available. I took a 60% pay cut in order to come onto the church staff there. But I was also teachable. And I don't say that braggadociously. I say that in the sense that you need to continue to look for people in your church who are faithful and available and teachable. Those are the folks you need to pour into and raise up, and that Zion Baptist Church might send out from here people who would see the world changed and reach people for Christ that maybe would never have been reached if you as a church had not raised them up, identified them, right, and poured into them and then send them out. And that's the pattern that we see in the New Testament. I knew I had some things to learn and being to be in vocational ministry, and so God used those years to grow us in many ways. In 2016, God called us for a new work, and He used Isaiah 43:18-19 to sustain us and carry us through that time of transition. And this morning you might be going through a time of transition, whether it be relationally or vocationally or just in the what it looks like at your house, right? We've had our first one really beyond college kind of go out of our nest and really say, okay, he's going to live in a whole other part of the country probably for the rest of at least the next few years, right, as he serves in the military. And so in this time of transition for us in 2016, we found this verse in Isaiah, these couple of verses, and it said, in the New Living Translation, it says this, it reads this way. It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." Folks, you could write that down in your notes if you wanted to take a note this morning. We at Impact Church just a couple of weeks ago, we introduced to our people this Impact Journal. This Impact Journal. And what we wanted folks to do was to really ask the Lord, how is He using them to impact their community? How is He using them to impact lives that are lost? Or those who need to grow, those young babies that are still feeding on the milk, right, of the Word, and how to help grow them up. And so we didn't create an impact journal in order to give them all sorts of things to read and digest, but to say to them, the best thing you can do to grow in your faith is to get into the Word of God and read it. Get alone with the Lord and with your Bible and maybe with a pad of paper and just say, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you help me understand? And so we ask folks to start journaling that, because this past year in December in our community group that meets on Wednesday nights, we ask folks to recount, like, the psalmist did in Psalm 9:1, recount all the wondrous things that God has done. We asked them to recount that, and some of them could. And others were unsure of how God had used them in 2017. And I didn't want our church to get to the end of 2018 and wondering and guessing, how did the Lord use them to impact eternity? How did the Lord use them to maybe see somebody come to know Christ that year? And so we're journaling that. We're learning together. But God used this time of transition to help grow our faith in Him and to grow our trust in Him. And to show us His power is working in ways that we could not imagine or see where we had been. In moving us, He was preparing us for the work He had for us to do in Festus with Impact Church. You see, if we had stayed in our comfort zone and stayed where we thought, man, God's going to use us here forever. This is going to be awesome. And God said, no, I really have some more work and different work for you to do. And I need you to get closer to me so you can understand the instruction that is needed. Because I can tell you, you can serve in a church for years, faithfully and availably and teachably. And yet God might still say, okay, it's now time for you to go out and reproduce that same type of thing that you've learned into others. And I believe that's what God is doing with Impact Church. In moving us, He's preparing us for that work. And maybe for you, the word you needed to hear this morning was that He's preparing for you a work as well. And as that verse said, He's creating ways, rivers, right, in a dry wasteland. Maybe as you walk with the Lord, there's times where you go, boy, I read the word and it doesn't seem like it's coming alive to me. Pray that the Lord would increase your faith. Pray that He would help you grow and see how He is working. So I'm going to share with you now what God is doing at Impact Church. And we, like you, maybe, have widows in your community. And we had widows in Festus as well. And we still do. And we looked around and we began to see, we asked God to give us the eyes that He has for our community. Again, we had been so focused on another thing that we began to look and ask, God, what would You want to do here? Who around our neighborhood doesn't know Christ yet? Not necessarily who down in St. Louis in the inner city doesn't know Him, although that's important, but who in our neighborhood doesn't know Christ yet? Because you know what? He's planted you wherever you live, wherever you're residing right now. He's planted you there. He planted us there in Festus. And there was work to be done. And so we saw this widow and our friend Donna, and she had concrete steps that needed to be repaired. And I am not, if you shake my hand later, you'll realize I'm not a concrete worker. Okay? God didn't gift me in the ways of, I take all those assessments, and it wasn't work really well with your hands was something that Scott was gifted with by the Lord. And so am I willing? Sure. But am I gifted at it? No, you wouldn't want me to create and repair concrete steps. But we had some men in Impact Church that could do that. And so the men of Impact Church went over with masonry skills, and they went and repaired her steps. And so she could safely enter and exit her house. And one of the things that she started doing right after we did that was she started attending Impact Church. She started coming. But she was one of those folks who basically said, I thought God had given up on me. She had come to know Christ at an early age, but had not followed Him very much at all in her adult life. She thought the Lord had given up on her because she had sinned too much to come back to Him. And we shared with her the love of Christ and the hope that Jesus gives to us. And she repented of her sin and came back to the Lord. And her two adult daughters started coming to Impact Church. And when Sherry moves back, one of her daughters, when she moves back closer to us to Festus area, we're going to get to baptize her because Sherry's come to know Christ as well. So that'll be a sixth one. By God's grace and His mercy, He'll allow us to be a partakers of. But then I had an opportunity for Donna to do her celebration ceremony when she passed on into glory just recently. And so just getting an opportunity to see her joy in those last number of months, that she understood that the Lord loved her again, right? That He hadn't given up on her. And now I want to tell you about another guy that I've seen at Impact Church that God has just worked in his life in a tremendous way. His name's Otto. And he's in his 50s, and by all accounts, he's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. Otto's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. He grew up and has spent most of his entire life in Festus. He's the oldest of six, and he's been working at the brewery in St. Louis for about 25 years. And in my upbringing, I would have thought, yeah, you don't work at the brewery, right? You don't go down there and work at the brewery. No, you don't do that. But you know what? That's where I found Otto. He was working at the brewery. And I wasn't at the brewery to find him, mind you. but I found him there. And he and his second wife have two grown children. And Otto helped them by working extra hours and overtime. He helped them to be able to complete their bachelor's and their doctorate degrees without very much debt at all. But you see, Otto laid down his life, really, for his family in that way, the way that many hardworking men do, right? And many hardworking moms do. And so he did that all the while not really even being aware or developing a hunger in his kids for the things of God or for himself. He left his spiritual things alone and really made sure that the American dream was fulfilled. He coached his daughter's softball team. He made sure he was there for all of her games and encouraging her and all that sort of thing. Made sure he took an interest in his son's activities. And so, again, on the outside, he would look like he had everything together. Like, oh, there's not a need here. But Otto began to come to Impact Church, and we are a mobile church, so we take a trailer of things and we move them into the middle school cafeteria each weekend, and then we pack them all up and load them back, and Otto hooks up his truck and carries it back over to one of our sister churches in the community, parks it there for him. Well, what happened was Otto began to stay for services, and he began to get a hunger and be drawn by the Holy Spirit for the Word of God. And so as he's pulling this trailer and as he's helping us to set things up, we began to talk, and he began to ask questions about the Lord and just about the Bible and what does it mean. And he really enjoyed coming. He didn't know why he was enjoying coming so much, because he hadn't enjoyed that before. But he was enjoying coming. He was beginning to read his Bible. And so at one point he came to me and he said, "Scott, that peace you have in your heart, that joy, I want that." You see, if I had just said to a guy that works at the brewery, "I don't really have any space or time for you, and oh, by the way, you can't serve until you come into our membership class, and then we'll let you kind of represent us by pulling a trailer," right? How silly would that have been, right? But we had a need, and Otto could fill it, and he helped us. And by that time, then at our grand opening in September, the longer story of that is this, try to shorten it up for you. At our grand opening, he had 15 to 20 family members in attendance to witness his testimony and to see him go public through baptism. And so he came to know Christ. He came to go public with it. He shared how each message he heard pierced his heart and drew him to Jesus. And he's now trusting in Christ and growing in his faith by reading his Bible, by asking questions, and praying like never before. And he shared how Impact Church, he was so thankful for him. On the day that he was baptized, he spoke to our church and he said, "You know, I'm so thankful that you've created this space for me to be able to learn about Jesus and to hear the good news." And he tells us all the time, I'm only going to miss if I have to work, and I'm going to try to get off every shift I can that I could be here in the mornings. And he said, "But otherwise, Pastor, if I'm not here, I'm at work." And he doesn't have to do that very often, but he wanted me to know, right, that he had gone from dead in his trespasses and sins to made alive in Christ. And he so loves coming to church where, again, we don't have a steeple on top of the building and we don't have beautiful pews that are padded for him either, right? And when things are just not ideal, right, in that environment perhaps, but we make it the very best we can with what we have. And he loves it. He's saying, "This is the kind of thing where I can learn." So how is God working? The week after we opened in September, we had two more saved and baptized the following week in the following service. And so to see them baptized is just exciting. It's just so exciting. We've seen God use car washes. We've seen God use diaper collections and face painting and foster care and bottled water and fingernail polish and sandwich board signs and 50-cent drinks in St. Louis the day after the Cardinals score 6 runs. You can get a 50-cent fountain soda, any size, right? And I got that a few times, and now I've developed this thing I'm working on this year, which is to be in better physical shape, because the sweet tea colas are not what I need. At least what I need. We also saw God use student scavenger hunts and with a service project. You know, they went out and did a service project in one of the neighborhoods, and our scavenger hunt, asking neighbors for different things, right? You go out and do that. Then what they did was they also came back to some of those houses and asked them, "How can we serve you today? Basically, how can we have an impact on your life today?" Right? And so they cut grass and they did different things and they cleaned up rooms. And now one of the couples that they served in that scavenger hunt is now coming to church. They're coming to Impact Church and hearing the gospel preached every week. And so that is just some of the things, some of the ways, some of the strategies, some of the methods that God is using that we're seeing to help connect common people to the uncommon love of Jesus Christ. And so we started thinking about what's a practical way to teach stewardship. Because in a church plant, if you have people that are coming that are new to faith, which is the ideal, right? That are not connected anywhere else in a church. When they come, the most personal thing you can ever talk about most of the time with them is their finances, right? And so, and it's usually one of the last indicators that they've truly given their heart to the Lord is when they start to trust Him by faith in their finances, right? And so we started thinking about how could we teach stewardship to the people of Impact Church? How could we help them see a little bit of a picture of what it's like to walk by faith? And so we normally at Impact Church, we use an orange bucket and we use that to collect the offering, and we ask folks just to drop that in the bucket as they go or as they're there that Sunday. And this first Sunday in December, we gave away $500 to our people. And we asked them to go out and take this money and bless the community. We gave it in increments of $50 and asked them to go around and really just follow the Holy Spirit in how could they use it. How could they use that to communicate to someone that God hadn't forgotten about that person and that God loves them and that we had been given a free gift of salvation? And so it was able to help us start some gospel conversations because people were like, okay, why are you giving me something? I'm suspect of that. And then they open it and saw it, and we heard story after story after story about how God had used that to help people who had thought God forgotten about them or thought there wasn't even a God or why would someone do that? What string is attached? When do I need to show up? Where do I need to sign up, right, to keep this $50? And we just continued to say, you know what? It's for you. It's free. You can't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to earn it. And it's grace given to you like it was given to us, right? Well, not only that we saw people in our community blessed by that, we also saw how God had impacted the efforts of our impactors as we tasked them with stewarding the financial resources of the church. It wasn't just, hey, could the church do something for this person or the church ought to do something for this person, but we put some resources in the hands of our people and said, you have the resources that the Lord has entrusted to you. Now take this and be a good steward of it and tell us. That's all we want you to do is tell us how God used it and how He affected your life in doing so. And we've had a few report back to us that they experienced such joy in the Lord that they saw people grow in their understanding that God, through Jesus Christ, had given them a free gift. Again, we couldn't earn it or deserve it, but God, in it, who is rich in mercy, gave His one and only Son that we might be saved. A few of our people shared with me, after that experience, their plan to increase their giving in 2017, they wanted to be more givers. They wanted to receive the joy of giving in their lives more and more by giving. Right? The natural tendency in America and in my home and in my heart sometimes is to think, well, if whatever I have, I need to hold on to a little tighter to make sure I have it so that I have it the next time, right? Maybe you've never walked through that. Maybe you are spiritually mature in giving all the time. But there are times when we watch people go, yeah, I don't know if I can trust him or not. If you always know, this is for free, I didn't plan on sharing this, but if you always know how the spreadsheet at home on the budget is going to finish up, you don't have to trust God very much at all. And I don't mean that to say that you need to be irresponsible. I mean that to say, if there's not a gap in your budget somewhere that God is going to have to show up and meet your need, then you miss out on growing in your faith and trusting God in some way. We also love to hear about the vision. Our Pastor Mike asked me to share a little bit about a vision of the future of Impact Church. And again, we currently meet in the middle school where Otto was one of the first ones to go through that building in the school district. But we meet in that cafeteria, and it currently comfortably holds about 75 people. And we're praying and believing that God will grow our Sunday mornings so that we need to use an adjacent multi-purpose room that will hold about 250 people. And so the numbers are a kind of a goal, right, of where we'd like to go, and we'd like to see people connected. But more than that, we want to see people raised up and discipled at Impact Church to go out and plant additional churches throughout Jefferson County, our state, and all around the world. And we believe that Impact Church exists to help connect common people to the uncommon love of Jesus Christ. We want to see the lost found, the dead in their trespasses and sins, raised to new life in Christ, for them to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that the Lord has commanded them. Right? We believe that as we fulfill the two greatest commandments according to Jesus, which was to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love people, we believe that will impact the world for Christ. We believe that's uncommon. For people to think about, if you were shopping and someone handed you some money in a card that said, "We love you, we want you to have a great time, and understand that God has not forgotten you." We believe actions like that, serving our community, blessing our community, as Festus is blessed and grows, we will see more and more people come to Christ. And we want to see more and more people come to Christ. We want to produce and reproduce healthy, growing, multiplying churches all around the world. We're asking God to let us see at least 10 people baptized this year, to see our regular weekend attendance grow to at least 100. We're currently at about 40, 45, maybe 50 on some Sundays. And we're thankful for every single one of them that come. We want to see community groups, two or three additional community groups grown. And when I say that, it's just simply this. We meet on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for service, and we gather there. And then on Wednesday nights, what we do in our community group is we gather for a meal in a home, and then we basically unpack the message that was given on Sunday. We want to help people that might have had a question about the message or what stood out to them as they've taken notes, to help them understand and help them apply what they've heard. And so in our community group, that's what we do. We kind of unpack the message. And then what we do is we spend some time in prayer with one another. And our ladies spend time in prayer, and they're growing. What we've seen initially was maybe 12 to 15 ladies in a prayer group. And it's multi-generational in our community groups. So we have little kids, and we have teenagers, and we have folks that are my parents' age in there. And the beautiful thing about that is that my parents get to see the enthusiasm, and sometimes even my mom would say the wisdom of our teenagers come through in what God has revealed to them, right, through the message or through the Word of God. And then we've also gotten a chance for our teenagers to see the wisdom that comes from following the Lord for many years, right? And so it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I think, boy, I just hope that we never lose that. That we never lose the vision that, hey, we want every generation together as much as we can as we unpack Scripture and as we pray. But when we started out, the ladies would get together, about 12 to 15 of them in a group for prayer time, and they would share their prayer request, and we try to always encourage them to share a request for them. While it's great to get the organ report, right? It's also great to say, this is an area that I need some prayer, and I need to, with my coworker, right? I need to speak the truth a little bit more, or to maybe run away from gossip that's happening, or whatever it might be. But whatever their prayer request was, they would share it, and then we would have one person, they would generally have one person pray for all those requests. I've grown up in church, that's usually something that happens, and that's usually a pattern that is okay, you know, that happens. But what we started seeing, in order to multiply what that looks like for us, is we started putting them after their prayer request was shared or before, when they were still together, we would pair them up in groups of three. And now, in order to get more ladies praying out loud, we have them in those groups of two or three where they felt a little more comfortable. And so now we're seeing each week about four or five women express and pray out loud with a group of ladies in that group. And so we're just trying to disciple. I wanted to share that with you, just to share with you, how are we discipling? How are we seeing their faith grow? Our men, what we do is we'll pray for the guy next to us, right? And so whether it be a group of six or ten or whatever, each of the men share a prayer request, and then we have the man next to him pray for that prayer request. And we just continue to be able to see men grow in their willingness to speak up and speak out and pray out loud in front of other people. And so we're praying and trusting that that's going to help people grow, and that that'll help us reach this goal of increasing our community groups by two or three more. And we're also praying that God would be able to help us with His church add a Spirit-filled piano player and worship leader to our church. We currently have a guitar player and a drummer. Our guitar player, I shared with some yesterday, is over 60, and our drummer cannot drive a car. And so, legally, he cannot drive a car yet. And so, but it's awesome. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, Savannah, has been helping to lead us in worship as well. But I know that she's going to probably want to go to college away from mom and dad a little bit. So we're praying for that in 2018, that God would send us Spirit-filled worship leaders, right? And we believe that God wants to grow His church called Impact, and that He will bring the increase as we work the soil. And so this summer, if you come, you're going to be helping us work the soil, helping us softening that up with various projects that we're going to be doing. But for our family, Pastor Mike asked me to share this, and so I share this with you. But for our family, we would appreciate if you would just join us in praying for our son, Andrew. He's our only son. Pause that on the internet, would you? Anyway. But yeah, I mean, we studied Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. And Andrew served on a panel that talked about that before he shipped out on Monday. And somebody reminded me, they said, you know, it took courage for our son, who is a phenomenal baseball player and fine young man, that was at college on scholarship to do those very things, to come and say to us, God, Dad, I feel like I'm being called to go and serve in the military, because that's greater for me right now than the desire to play ball that I've done since I was 4 and I love the game. So just join us in prayer for that, that God would protect his heart, grow his spirit, and give him strength as he defends our country. He graduates in May, and we would like to take all three girls out to see him graduate. We ask that you pray for our three daughters as they walk the halls of Festus in middle school and high school, that they would have an impact for Christ and that they would experience the joy of leading others to Jesus. We have a daughter who's in seventh grade. She'll be running track for the first time. We're going to be track parents now. It's going to be so fun. I don't have the gift of track in me, unless you're talking about discus or shot put or something like that. But I shared with folks yesterday, I don't quite understand the activity of running, but I'm going to learn what I can so I can enjoy and encourage my daughter. But they are great girls. In fact, I shared yesterday, our middle daughter, Sylvia, when we were getting ready for our grand opening, my wife, again, I shared with you, she has served for many years in children's ministry areas, was in fact our children's director at our previous church, and she was like, hey, I can do that as we need it. And our daughter Sylvia came to her mom and said, Mom, when we get ready to do our grand opening, I want to serve in the children's area. You don't need to do that. I want to take care of that for you because you need to be where Dad needs you most. I thought, wow. And I think my wife, who loves working with kids, was kind of like, I'm a little offended, but I'm so excited that through the process of this transition and this promise in Isaiah 43, right, 18 and 19, that God would create ways and things that we hadn't even seen. Because prior to this experience, Sylvia had been one who would have not wanted necessarily to serve as a leader in a children's area, but perhaps as a helper. And so just seeing her faith grow, it was awesome. It's just awesome. So, again, I think we would just appreciate your prayers for our family to raise up additional prayer partners and financial partners so that that I could serve full-time with our church. I'm currently bivocational, which is awesome. I'm actually like trivocational, I think someone mentioned once. So it's all good. It's all good. But we want to thank Pastor Mike for inviting us out here this weekend and to see this beautiful part of the country. We had not been in this part of the country yet. And to serve your association and to get some rest. The house, whoever did some projects on that, we've been staying there for a couple nights. It's beautiful. And we thank you guys for what you've done there. We dream about what it would look like if disciples of Christ discovered what their spiritual gifts are, then used those gifts to build up the body of Christ. What kind of impact could a group of people so devoted to God with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind, a group of people that were prayed up and gave and believed God for the impossible. What kind of impact could that have in Festus and reaching the lost and the hurting for the kingdom of God? How many more autos are in our community who are working their hearts out to provide for their families but are asleep at the wheel on developing their children's hearts for God? How many more widows like Donna who feel forgotten by God and like they couldn't come back to Him? How many more are in this community, maybe just like that? I believe we should use every resource and tool that we have to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, isn't He? Jesus will save. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you again for today. God, I pray that you would just continue to do the work that only you can do through your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that you have given us and called us to this work. And God, you are growing us to be more like you. And so, God, I thank you for your patience with us in that process. God, I thank you for the courage that you give us, that you will be with us, and that is why we can be courageous. You will give us the strength. And God, we want to see more work, more miracles done in the lives of people. God, that in the time that we have remaining here on this earth, whether we're 78 or whether we're 87 or whether we're 17 or 23, God, I pray that you would help us to see that we are living a life of impact. And God, we want it to be for eternity.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, I pray.
Amen.